Eeny, meeny, miny, moe, catch a Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. A Medicare podcast shunned by hoarders everywhere. If only he knew what LSMFT meant, it's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Well, chugga, 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 toot, toot. Here comes the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast, as if it weren't enough to have Canadian Drew McMillan tell you about it in his inimitable style. I am here to punctuate his statement that you have arrived at the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast, and I, Doug Jones, am your Medicare expert for today. You're listening to episode 72. We're recording this on June 18th of 2020, and I want to welcome you. Thank you for joining us today. Drew McMillan, the announcer, is a star and host of Powerboat TV. It's a Canadian half-hour show weekly during season about boats, all things powerboats. And he can be seen by Americans at www.powerboattv.com. Look for Drew in all of the 2020 episodes that he hosted. We are podcasting to the Lazy Man. I used to like to define the Lazy Man, and one of my sisters told me that it irritated her. So I define the Lazy Man even more, because frankly, if I didn't irritate my sisters every once in a while, what would life be all about? But now what I'd like to do is let our 30-second radio spot irritate the audience, or maybe inspire the audience. It's a good explanation of why we're here. Take it away.
Medicare is complicated. Medicare can be confusing. Medicare is no fun to study. Will you know what decisions to make when Medicare time arrives for you? My name is Doug Jones, and I wrote a book to help you figure it all out. Medicare for the Lazy Man 2020. It's on sale at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Also, you can download and listen to my podcast, Medicare for the Lazy Man, wherever fine podcasts are given away free of charge. Medicare for the Lazy Man, simplest and easiest guide ever.
All righty. That was 30 seconds of what the heck we're doing here. And I'm hoping that it inspired you to take us seriously if you're approaching Medicare. If you go to Amazon.com to buy Medicare for the Lazy Man 2020, you will have probably an hour of excellent instruction as to what Medicare is all about and how you can make the best of it. It's not a lengthy, heavy tome. It is light reading for the person who doesn't really want to read anything about Medicare at all. That's what we're here for, to make the whole subject palatable. And when I say we, I'm also including my friend and sidekick and broadcast engineer, Randy Carson. Hello, Randy.
Doug, are you feeling like you're out further into the Midwest today?
I am certainly further into the Midwest than I was before, but I stopped moving into the Midwest after the car reached the garage. This is our summer home, St. Charles, Illinois, and until the place sells, we got for sale signs all over the 6 acres located right in the middle of town. Until the place sells, this is going to be where I hang my hat all summer, but I can't wait to get back to Arizona in the fall.
I think you would make a great B&B operator.
Breakfast. Oh. Well, we've got the facilities for it, that's for sure. But I don't. My cook is not willing to sling hash for more than me.
You don't have any. You don't have any professional hash slingers.
When I was a kid, labor was cheap, and I grew up with uniformed live-in help slinging hash and cleaning things and dusting and all that stuff, and you just can't find people to do that kind of work anymore. So, no. In fact, my hash slinger, I have to be careful about how often I ask for hash to be slung if I want to actually have hash on a regular basis.
So I can see you very carefully tiptoeing into the kitchen going, Will we be eating today?
Sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no.
How far to the nearest Burger King, Doug?
Well, it's, you know, it's just down the road a piece, but I've got a lot of old cars that are really, really fast, so I can get there in a hurry.
There you go. They'll probably see you driving down there in one of your hot cars, and they'll go, look at that teenager speeding down the road.
They do that, and frankly, you know, if it weren't for the gray hair, I would wear that badge proudly. But, you know, I don't know many teenagers that have hair the color of a silver fox. And so
spike it up, you know, put some grease on and spike it up. Then they'll never know the difference.
There you go. That's right. Well, I, you know, when I wear my mask, I wear it across the top of my head for protection.
There you go. So, there you go. So
that's going to wreck the spike.
And there's one COVID germ in your hair.
Yeah, there you go. It's healthy. It's the healthiest head of hair. I swear to God. By the way, I have a note here. You mentioned falconry a few episodes back, and I don't know why, but I had the wherewithal to write down the word falconry. Did you?
That was based on a movie that I absolutely love.
Was it The Falcon and the Snowman?
No. A long-term friend of mine, Frank, and I discovered this movie one afternoon in Omaha, Nebraska, while we were holding jury duty or something, we were holding something in his house with a 12-pack of beer.
Wait a minute. Okay, jury duty in his house.
Well, yeah.
Don't you normally have to go to a courthouse for that?
Normally. I think we were holding some sort of, I don't know. We were watching his daughter is what we were doing.
Oh, anyway, okay. Alrighty.
She was six at the time, so we were required to spend our time watching her, which is great. But sure. We also had a 12-pack of beer that we had to do something with.
Watching kids is tough duty, so
I was trying to keep my blood pressure down, and we discovered this movie. I don't know really whether we rented it. I doubt it. This was years ago, or whether it was on some channel he had, but it was called Start the Revolution Without Me.
Oh, yes. You told me about this. I may have seen it, but I might have been drinking my own self and not have paid close attention, so I've got to watch it again.
The synopsis, you know, the very short synopsis of the funniest, the whole movie is just absolutely gut-busting hilarious, at least when you have six beers in. Now, I was actually, the one that I still remember to this day was this king and his kingdom, the subjects in this kingdom were trying to make the king look like a fool. For what reason, I don't know. They were looking for a new king or trying to get a new king or something, I don't know. But anyway, they were trying to make this king look like an idiot, like he had lost his marbles and was unable to rule the kingdom any longer, sufficiently.
Uh-huh.
So they started this, you know, it was like a huge kingdom-wide formal ball, okay? So then, as you know, back in the day, you know, everybody's traipsing down a stairway and there's some doorman at the door announcing, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Humpy Hump, you know, from, you know, some corner of the kingdom. And so then the king is the last guy in. So they open the door and there stands the king in a duck suit.
Hmm.
And he
thus helping them prove their point.
Well, the thing is, Doug, that in order to make him look like a fool, they had told him that this party was a costume party. But nobody else was told that it was a costume party, that it was formal. So the king spends the whole rest of the night, you know, making small talk, walking around the audience, you know, shaking hands with his wing. And he's going, but they said it was a costume party.
Was this a Mel Brooks movie by any chance?
I think it was.
Okay, and Mel Brooks might have been the king.
I think so.
Okay, I can almost picture it now. I'm sure I did see it through the fog of a 12-pack of beer, probably.
Just the thought of that, the king walking in a duck suit, just to this day, 30 years later, just tears me up.
Well, I can imagine that, and it sounds like it would be hilarious if anybody could pull it off. It would be Mel Brooks, you know, one of the funniest guys in the history of the world. By the way, you and I were talking about bank robbers and the difficulty they get into. And I have mentioned Woody Allen in the past to you, and you always screw up your face and go, oh, he isn't that funny. However, one of his very early movies, I thought his earlier stuff was a lot funnier than his later stuff. And one of his very early movies, he walks into a bank to hold it up. He's got a note, but he's kind of illiterate. And so the bank teller spends about 20 minutes with him correcting his spelling and grammar on the note and asking him to read it again. And he wrote the word gub instead of gun, things like that.
I have a gub.
I just love these old comedians. Their early work, back when they were young guys, and I'm pretty sure Mel Brooks was a lot younger than he is now. Is he still with us? Maybe not.
I'm not sure.
I think if he's not with us, it was a recent occurrence that he died.
But, well, if he's not, he should be.
Yeah, he's lived, and he was valorous service in World War II and everything, but he was a funny guy as a youngster, and even up to the Blazing Saddle days, and so was Woody Allen, the early stuff. The later stuff got to be too esoteric and cerebral for me. Frankly, I enjoy the slapstick humor, and I've mentioned my favorite Woody Allen movie of all time, which is What's Up, Tiger Lily? Now, I don't remember the name of the movie where he robbed the bank and was lectured on his syntax and note writing abilities. But anyway, we are going to carry on with our Medicare content from last time. Randy told me that I've got to do something to protect him from the unruly crowds when he goes to the Chip, the Buffalo Chip, or when he goes to Harold's in Cave Creek. He is accosted by people who demand more mailbag items from this podcast. And so I said, well, that kind of fits with my schedule, because I uncovered, after my trip to Illinois, I unpacked all the boxes of loose papers I had, and I had found a whole bunch of 2019 messages to me with questions from listeners and readers of the book. And I thought, 2019, that stuff is really old. And then when I pulled it out of the bottom of the mailbag, oh God, it's all damp and gooey and the ink is running and everything else. So I thought, here's an excellent way to kill two birds with the same stone. We'll make Randy's fans happy and save him some violent encounters. And we'll be able to clean out the older, smellier portions of my correspondence with the listeners and the readers of the book. So why don't we do that? How does that sound to you, Randy?
That sounds great. Let me inject one small story before we get too far into the podcast.
Please do.
Your friend, who was having trouble spelling the appropriate, robbery language on his
note. It wasn't my friend. It was Woody Allen, everybody's friend, or nobody's friend, maybe.
Now, this is a true story, so this is not a Woody Allen. This is not made up. This is absolutely true. As you know, I used to work in the bank industry for, 32 years. Someone actually walked into a bank who shall remain nameless and wrote his, I have a gub.
No. Well, that's what Woody Allen,
I have a gun on the back of, I have a gun and give me all your money. Uh-huh. On the back of his personal deposit slip.
Oh, yeah. I think I might have read about that one.
There, and obviously, the teller gave him whatever he wanted and then just said, hey, Mr. Policeman, here's the address.
Right. he used to be an esteemed depositor. And the cop said, well, in 5 to 20, he may be again.
That's right. And obviously, as I said earlier, the guards back in Nebraska aren't allowed to have any bullets. So the only thing he could do is chase him down and trim his fingernails real short.
Well, that's if it takes that to dissuade this guy from the future of bank robbery for a career, then I'm all for it.
And I'm really glad you're going to pull me out of the weeds here on this mailbag stuff.
Well, you're going to have to report to me whether it worked or not.
I mean, it's getting serious.
Well, I'm hoping that we're making some patrons at the bars in Cave Creek happy today. So you'll have to tell me over the weekend, wherever you go, because as we know, Arizona is kind of open for business. You'll have to tell me whether it worked or whether they are not yet satisfied and we have to do it again.
I may have to call you up and say, you know, I signed you up for an open round table at the CHIP.
Well, then I'll have to just come right back and participate in that.
Yeah, that's a business expense, Doug.
That's deductible.
Yeah.
That's my favorite kind of business expense, one that the IRS can never question.
That's right.
But you might remember our last episode that was recorded oh so long ago. The two letters I read were heartbreakers. Both people wanted to buy insurance from me, and I, the anti-insurance guy, had to turn them down because we weren't ready. Our technology was lagging behind and wasn't ready yet to be able to service these people. I hope we don't find that again. So let's see what we've got here. This is, these things are from 2019. So they really are kind of old and smelly. This is from August 5th. Dear Doug, my wife and I have both filled in the reply form that you have on your website requesting the next step in signing up for your supplemental Medicare plan. Here you go again, potential customers that I have to turn down. However, I suspect that the emails were never sent. It is either a problem with your website or the fact that we use Apple computers and sometimes they don't interface well with the PC crowd. Yeah, let's go with that. Can you let me know if you got those emails or just contact us with the next step in purchasing your supplemental insurance? Then he gives his name and his wife's name and social security numbers. I don't know. He gives me a lot more information than that. And they live in Heber City, Utah. He just turned 66. The wife will turn 66 in October. Thanks for your help with this matter. And I responded, Dear Mr. and Mrs. Z, thank you very much for writing again today. I have forwarded your message to my technical people, that would be Randy, and so they can identify the problem with mail forwarding from the website. I must tell you the site is currently undergoing some redesign and reconstruction. So that could be the cause of the email problem to which you fell victim. Additionally, and sadly, the legal elements are not all in place yet for me to sell Medicare supplement insurance in Utah. The license is there, but I'm still evaluating insurance companies in order to choose the one I expect to be the best all-around choice to recommend to my clients. Until that process is concluded, I cannot in good conscience begin to offer Medicare supplement plans for sale there. As an alternative, I would recommend locating an independent broker in your general area for assistance. If you have read my book, you've likely decided what plans you would like to buy, and an experienced independent broker should have no trouble helping you execute the next steps in your strategy. Thank you very much for reaching out, and please don't hesitate to do so again if I can be of further service. P.S., and this is where I always get them, if you have in fact read my book, it would be much appreciated if you would post a short review on the Amazon sales page. This is always very helpful to the author as well as to potential readers. Thanks again. And I believe that this couple did leave a really, really nice book review on Amazon. And I think it wound up printed on the cover of the 2020 book, the back cover. If you buy that 2020 book, you're going to read all kinds of reviews, short reviews from people who love the book, both on the back cover and the inside page or two, a couple of pages, I guess. Hopefully giving you an idea as to whether or not the book can be helpful for you. Okay, so here's another mailbag item. This is from August 20th of 2019. Oh, God, the green slime is growing on this. I had to use my hand sanitizer to clean off the more dangerous ooze. It's so old. It's embarrassing, but let's see what it says. Dear Doug, thanks for writing a great, easy-to-understand book and setting up this awesome site. I am not an average good health case and would like some advice. I'm a retired teacher who turned 65 and he gives 1955. So he's 108 years old, I think. It's a misprint. He gave me his date of birth rather than his birthday in the year 2019. Last winter, I was diagnosed with severely aggressive prostate cancer. Uh-oh. So far, the surgery was successful, but the odds favor a return of the cancer within 5 years. I also have a knee replacement coming soon. Well, I live with somebody having that problem. That's no fun at all. I assume it is really important to make the right decision on supplemental insurance the first time, as my options will become limited after that. He's exactly right. I would like to include dental, hearing aids, and gym membership, but choice of doctors, good coverage, and coverage while traveling trumps all. So far, I only have one prescription, but that could change big time. I live in New York. Any of your typical, clear, common sense advice that made your book so great would be greatly appreciated. Thanks. And he signed his name. And I said, thanks for writing, sir. And thanks for the kind words about my book. Sorry to hear about your prostate problem, but I will keep my fingers crossed that your recovery will be a long and pleasant one. Additionally, my wife just underwent a complete knee replacement, so I understand the consequences of that as well. My advice, lay in mass quantities of ice for the cold water circulation pump. Now, in accord with your stated objectives, I have no better recommendation than to begin early December with notification to the Social Security Administration that you want to enroll in Medicare Parts A and B. They will send you a Medicare ID card showing the start dates of March 1st, 2020. Upon receipt of that card, you should have plenty of time to apply for the to an insurance company for the next layer of coverage. Considering your stated priorities, the best answer is a comprehensive Medicare supplement. The most comprehensive plan available to you is Plan G. That will cover everything except the Part B annual deductible, and that is $198 this year. There will also be a brand new high deductible Plan G that should have a sharply reduced monthly premium, but I cannot speak authoritatively about that yet. What I do know is the best way for you to select a cost-effective drug plan is still to follow the steps outlined in the book. Here's some good news. I know of at least two Medicare supplement carriers that will often include silver sneakers as a no-cost benefit. These are Humana and Aetna. So ask them about that before you buy. Here's some bad news. If this plan will not include any sort of dental or hearing benefit, a competent insurance broker should be able to set you up with an individual plan to cover this, but I predict you will not like the monthly cost. I hope this has been helpful, Steve. Please let me know if there's anything else I can do. Good luck. And then I trot out the club again. Nothing warms the heart of an author more than seeing a positive customer review of the book on Amazon.com. So I don't know. Do we have time for a third one, Randy? The stack is getting a little smaller.
Absolutely. Let's do one more.
All right. One more. This is a real shorty. Let me use a longer one. If we have time to kill, let me kill some real time here. So this is from a guy named Douglas. I read on Medicare.gov that the plan high deductible plan F will not be allowed to cover the Part B deductible after January 1st, 2020. I am 65 in April 2020. What is the impact to me? I have signed up for Medicare and now have a Medicare number. I also enrolled in a prescription drug plan and I'm trying to sign up for a supplemental high deductible plan F with Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan. Do I have to wait until my birthday in April to do that supplement? My family and I are on COBRA for now after being laid off in 2019. What a mess. Thanks for your advice. And I said, thanks for writing, Douglas. That information is not exactly accurate. As I explained in the 2020 edition of my book, high deductible plan F is not changing. It will still cover the Part B deductible. However, high deductible plan F and regular plan F will not be made available to anyone who is not eligible for Medicare enrollment before January 1st. 2020. Your problem is that you're too young. Bet you haven't heard that much lately, huh? Those of you turning 65 in 2020 have a new option, high deductible plan G. Information and rates are not yet easy to find, but many companies should be preparing to offer it for sale around January 1st. Plan G will be the very comprehensive and more expensive version, and high deductible plan G will be the less expensive and streamlined version. The impact to you should be minimal, as the Part B deductible in 2020 will amount to $198 for the year. Typically, Plan G rates save you more than that amount from the Plan F rates, and I would expect to see high deductible G rates that are very attractive. The only thing about your message that confuses me is the fact that you already have your Medicare number this far ahead of your April birthday. Typically, enrollment is not permitted sooner than 90 days before the birth month. Looks like you pulled off a real coup here. Please let me know if I can ever be of further assistance. So then, he wrote me back. Honorable, call me Honorable Douglas Jones. Thank you for the information. You are correct about being too young. I'm too young for this jalopy of rules and pitfalls called U.S.-style healthcare. Uh-oh. I have listened to your book on Audible about 15 times, trying to parse as much as possible from it. Here is my experience in more detail. And he goes through a lot of his own personal, there's a whole single-space typewritten page, about his trials and tribulations in dealing with government types, trying to get Medicare coverage for himself. And so, and then dealing with a Blue Cross Blue Shield saleswoman who put the hard court press on him for buying two HMO POS Advantage plans. $0 premium, tons of doctors, big name hospital, dental, eye, blah, 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 Detroit area, $50K lifetime foreign country medical expense. Any doctor, easy, not like a gatekeeper, just call to get a referral, she said. She recommends this plan to people like me that are very healthy and do not take medication. What do you think? She gave me her extension number, so I know there must be a FET commission in there somewhere. Thanks. And I said, mystery solved. When you are enrolled for Social Security Administration, they automatically take care of the details related to Medicare enrollment. That must include assigning your Medicare identifier. On your behalf, I went to the Blue Cross Blue Shield Michigan website, but found they only offer Medicare supplement plans and had no mention of high deductible plan G. Oh, they only offer three Medicare supplement plans and no high deductible plan G. Then I Googled Medicare supplement plans in Michigan and wound up on ehealthmedicare.com. Or something close to that. The first company was Blue Cross Blue Shield. After that came Mutual of Omaha subsidiary, which offers a high deductible plan G for about $44 a month. I stopped looking there, but if you went farther down the list, you might find other good companies offering high deductible G at slightly lower monthly premium rates. A word of caution, staying on COBRA with your family will eventually expose you to a lifetime late enrollment penalty because COBRA is not considered to be creditable coverage. In order to avoid that penalty, it is imperative that you sign up for Part B by the third month after your birth month. And here I go. If you found my book helpful, I wonder if you would do something helpful for me and for potential future readers. Please go back to the Amazon page and leave a short customer review. I would appreciate it very much. So he said, DBJ, I promise you I will do that. Thank you for the sleuthing. That's what I was talking about. $44. Super. I was a bit facetious about staying on COBRA. Its Achilles heel is its deductibles are very, very high. COBRA is expensive and the benefits are not nearly as good as Medicare. So then he said, or I said, how you can see it. If not, he is what I wrote. Wow, I must have gotten into the cooking sherry before I did this. Oh, I know. I put out a 5-star review today. This is not me, it's the other Douglas. And then he tells me what his review says, which is very, very complimentary. And it is just, makes me blush when I think of how people love my work there. So I said, sir, those are beautiful sentiments. I appreciate you taking the time to share them with the reading public. Ironically, I'm listening to new audio files for the 2020 edition today. It will be up for sale just as soon as I can make sure of the quality. I've been doing a little poking around and have found that Mutual of Omaha is on the leading edge of marketing high deductible plan G. The other carriers have disappointed me so far. That was written in December. So Douglas and I had a long period of correspondence, but I think he was happy at the end of it. And I think he got good advice. And frankly, I'm worn out. That's a lot of mailbag to plow through.
It is. That might be a record, Doug.
Well, I hope your fellow customers recognize the effort that we put into satisfying them, and I hope they're appreciative of it.
Yes, I'm really glad that, not this last mailbagger, but the one just before that customer mentioned our Audible book.
They did?
We haven't
15 times. He said he listened to it 15 times.
That is probably, we need to get his name and send him a t-shirt, man.
I got Beatle albums in 1964 I didn't listen to 15 times, and I loved the hell out of them.
I know. I did want to tell you something about the Audible book, though. You may not know this. Have you heard of the Lost Dutchman Gold Mine in Arizona?
Gee whiz, that's only the biggest tourist story ever invented.
Yep. Did you know, I found out that if you listen to your Audible book, Chapter 5, backwards at 33 and a third RPM, it gives you directions to the Lost Dutchman mine.
Does it mention Weaver's Needle?
Yeah, it does.
Well, then that's got to be right.
I know.
My understanding was that it wasn't really a mine with ore in it. It was a cave that the Peralta family hid their gold in. And so it's just ready to be picked up and carried away.
I know. Now, here's my one bit of trivia about the Lost Dutchman mine. There's been a lot of gold studiers over the years trying to determine if the Lost Dutchman gold mine even existed. And they really believe it did. The reason is that they have identified a couple nuggets of gold that the Lost Dutchman, I forget his real name, but they called it the Lost
Dutchman. Jacob Waltz, he was German.
That's
which
right.
Is Deutsch.
Yeah, it was Deutschman. It wasn't Dutchman, but that, you know how Americans screw things up.
Yeah, so. We Americanize everything.
But they did find a couple nuggets of gold that are directly traceable back to him. And I didn't know it, but gold has kind of like a DNA signature of.
I would not have known that.
The content or the makeup of each gold sample is very unique to a mine. And they've done analysis on these nuggets that are tracked back to Jacob, and they are unique to anything they've ever seen.
Well, I'll tell you something. The little I know about it came from a series of video or audio tapes, cassette tapes, put out in the 1980s, I want to say, by the Sierra Vista Chamber of Commerce. And they have that guy, he's dead now, but John Ritter's father, I think, Tex Ritter, or somebody like him, narrating them.
Yeah.
So that you take a driving tour, you leave exit so-and-so on Interstate 10 in Tucson, push the play button, and then when he tells you stop until you get to another intersection. And he tells you stories like this. He talks about Jacob Waltz striking gold or finding the Peralta's gold or something up there in the mountains. So he brought a bunch of it back to be assayed and to pay for the drunk that he went on, which lasted about a week. And when he finally sobered up, he could not remember where he had been. He never could find the mine again to go back and get
dear.
The rest of the stash.
That would be my luck.
Yeah. I guess this is why we got married, so we're not allowed to go on week-long benders, huh?
That's right, especially looking for gold. But yeah. I've also read, and I have no reason to, you know, doubt these, that there's a lot of strange stuff goes on down in the Superstition Mountain.
That's because the guys that are already there looking for the gold don't want anybody else in there, so they will do everything they can to scare them away, including killing them,
Years, as you know, Doug, there's a lot of people go hunting in the Superstitions for whatever, and they are never found again.
I have some newspaper articles from, I think, the 1950s or early 60s, in which people are asking, how come there are helicopters flying in and out of the Superstition Mountains? It turns out to have been an expedition put on by Earl Stanley Gardner of Perry Mason fame, who took a crew of guys in there, including, I'm assuming, some armed guards, in order to find out for himself what the Superstition Mountains were all about and what they were hiding. And I think he wrote a book about it. I think I have the first edition autographed by him because my grandfather was a friend of his. And I think it's in a box in our basement somewhere waiting for us to move out of this house. So if I ever open that book, I think I'm going to have some pretty interesting stories. Because he wrote extensively.
I would love to read that, Doug.
He wrote extensively about the Southwest. I read one that was just about him traveling up and down Baja California. He went down, I think, the Pacific Ocean side, then up on the Sea of Cortez side, and they did a lot of camping out and stuff. And that was before Cabo San Lucas was anything but a fishing village.
Yeah.
So I've got a whole bunch of Earl Stanley Gardner research material that he did back then, I can't wait to have the leisure time to tear into it. But these people keep writing and asking to buy insurance. I'm so busy telling them no.
I know. Yeah, I know. You can't beat them off with a stick.
I know it.
Now, here's your other fun fact, and then we probably ought to land the plane.
All righty.
Of all the gold in the world that the scientists have calculated exists, what percentage has been discovered?
Well, by the way, you're trying not to grin and give the answer away, I'm going to guess it's a really small percentage, like 1%?
Well, they say 1 to 3%. So there's 97% of the gold still left in the world.
What are we doing here?
What are we doing here? I don't know. We're trying to sell insurance, and people keep trying to get a book. You know, they have an audio book now. So, and if you look in chapter seven.
I can't remember.
Yeah, you listen to it backwards at 33. Now, the old people won't—they'll understand what 33 and a third RPM
is. The kids today,
the young people—they
right.
got
All
no.
All I know
hope.
Is 1x, 2x, 3x. No
That's
backwards.
Right. That's right.
Well, thank you everybody for joining us for another episode of the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. Buy the book. Buy the book.
Absolutely. Go to Amazon.com. Buy the book. Buy the audio. Go to Barnes & Noble, buy the book. But thank you all very much for joining us to listen to great stuff from the anti-insurance guy, Doug Jones, sole proprietor of
Medicare for the
Lazy Man.com.
Bye-bye.